This is Nurse Guzer News for the week of February 25th, 2019, and I'm your host, Rebecca Hartman Baker. Today's guest is Tom Davis. Tom is a computer systems engineer in the operations technology group at NERSC. Tom has many talents, including the ability to whistle the right frequency to set off an acoustic modem coupler. Tom, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So Tom, today's topic is the data collect. So I heard that you architected the data collect.
Yes, we did. And we're still today making modifications to it to improve it and get it ready for the next generation of systems.
Okay, so tell me about how did this get started?
The original stuff was on a system called Jacquard at NERSC almost 15 years ago. When we brought Jacquard in, it was one of the first computational clusters at NERSC. It had InfiniBand network in it. And there was a problem in that the jobs would crash at random on the InfiniBand network, and we didn't know why. So we had to start doing the process of elimination on it. So what we did is we set up performance collection on it and log collection to be able to look at when a crash occurred, what was going on at the system at the time of the crash, to try and hopefully narrow down what the problem was. It had helped tremendously in knowing that we found out it wasn't our software, wasn't the programs, didn't matter what you were doing, that the crash would just occur at random. And it ended up being a hardware problem that was solved by making a few little timing changes in the actual system BIOS in the cards, in the drivers. That was the genesis into the next generation system, which became, at OSF, the ability to collect the power of the building. So we could generate a PUE saying, here's what the building's PUE is. When Franklin and Hopper came in, those systems, we collected the power on those systems so we can know what's going on. And when Franklin went away and Edison came in, we could reuse some of the equipment to do that. But we found that that system was really fragile, didn't run really scale up very well. We were having difficulties with keeping things time synced, which we realized was, at that point, was not a thing that we could do for the sheer size of data points we're collecting. And then Building 59 came along as a greenfield for us to look at what we did at OSF and decide, does that actually apply to Building 59? And if not, how are we going to do or mitigate that issue when we move to this building?
Okay, so you were able to just start from ground zero, basically, and start collecting any kind of information that...
Clean sheet here at Building 59. I mean, there were a few little things that we had to arrange with the facilities people to make sure it was done the way that we wanted to do it. Mm-hmm. But other than that, it was almost a clean sheet design. Now, the thing to remember is the old facility had chillers in it. The new facility, the Building 59, does not have mechanical cooling, does not have a chiller in the building. So therefore, all the temperatures and plant controls are based off of what the outside air temperature is, if we can either bring it in or if we can, we have to be able to evaporate water to generate cold water here.
Right, okay. So what kind of data do we collect?
Everything that can be collected will be collected is the awe-inspiring slogan that you can hear. But right now, what we're collecting is building power information all the way down from the 12 kV substation into either the power supply on the crays or into the racks that do support, i.e. like the disk drives and login nodes and stuff. We collect all that information. We also collect temperature sensors. There's 4,000 plus temperature sensors on the machine room floor. There's 5 on each rack front, 5 on each rack back, so we can see back and front air temperatures. We also collect all the building management system. We also collect the internal cray, what's called SEDC information, which is the things like internal cray power, internal cray temperatures, blowers, water temperatures. And so we can take all of this and generate a view of what's going on mechanically on the floor. The other one that we're working on adding is performance information from the crays themselves, long term, so we can actually then correlate a job issue to a power or to environmental issue. We're also working on getting the syslog information in there, so again we can do a four-way correlation, not just a three-way or one-way correlation.
Okay, great. How much data is there in the data collect?
Well, currently it's a 41-node Elasticsearch cluster. Of those 41 nodes, 3.0 is called a master node. It's the ones that control. They're clustered together. They control. So 2 or 3 up, it stays happy. It has 3 client nodes that are used for round robin. So if you use our one of our interfaces, you talk to one of those 3. Then the rest of it is a storage set of nodes that have SSD or disk, and there's currently over 500 billion items in the database and 105 terabytes of disk space in use.
Wow, that sounds like big data to me, Tom.
And it's funny that some people say it's not big enough, but we threaten them because then we say we'll pull it out of HPSS where we archive a lot of the data, and then we can actually give you easily 200 to 300 terabytes of data and or probably about 1 petabyte of record size.
Wow. So having all this data has been a big help in troubleshooting issues, right?
Yes. For some of the examples that we run into is every once in a while you'll get the fires in the Bay Area where the smoke from a fire nearby affects us. We use the data to collect to watch the environmentals in the room. We also use it for calculating the PUE for the building so we know the efficiency of the building and how what it's doing. We've also used it for, there was one day, for example, where Berkeley's temperature soared to record numbers, like 100, 105 degree day in Berkeley, which is very unusual. And we had the data collect running that day that we could see certain things occurring in certain parts. Because we keep such a long term, we're also able to do is say, that day it hit this, and we can go back in time and say, what other day did we have that sort of a problem? And we can go back and look and see that. Mm-hmm. We also have a weather station that's in a unique location. Everybody argues with us at first. Our weather station is not on the roof of the building. And the reason why we did that is because our cooling towers are next to the building, that the cooling towers can affect the weather above the building. And we wanted to know the weather going into the cooling towers, not the weather that the cooling towers were generating. So we actually put our weather station down in the lower corner of the building where it's out of sight, out of mind. But when people see it, they want to argue with us that it's in the wrong place. It is in the wrong place if you just care about what weather you're seeing. But when it comes to you have to evaporate water, we want to know what the weather is that to make it happen.
Right. Okay. So the data collect is a pretty integral part of all of our systems here at NERSC. You were telling me that it's the last system to go down when we have a maintenance, and it's the first system to come back up.
It's one of the first ones. It is self-contained from the standpoint that it doesn't need NERSC networking. It does not need a connection to the internet for it to come up. It is based on multiple types. It has real nodes, metal, what we call a metal node. It has virtual machines in it, and it also has a Docker-based system using Rancher to manage the data collection.
And it has its own network?
It has its own network. It's currently around 30-some switches in the network. We run a switch to every row, and every row has ports that go to the PDU strips. We also have temperature sensors that we pick up. The switch powers the temperature sensors, and then for the internal network itself, we have several switches for that. And we are in the process of working on, we actually ran out of capacity on one set of switches, and we're working on replacing two of the 3 sets of switches to make it, instead of 3 different vendors, it'll be 2 different vendors of switches.
Okay. So my understanding is that when we first started putting in all these sensors and things that Gray thought, well, what in the world are you doing? But now, actually, they're pretty excited about it because it helps with troubleshooting issues.
They actually use the system now.
Yeah.
They have access, the Cray on site has access to the system, and they do look stuff up in it at times. We've kept as much as 2 years of SEDC data online, 1 year for each of the 2 Crays, the Edison and Corey systems. It's become very helpful when they want to see what if something failed or something or why it failed, see if maybe we caught it. We also can look at trends and statistics. One feature that was used by that Cray did for us that has been a very important one is we have what's called dynamic fan controls. The blowers that move air through the Crays are now dynamically controlled, and the data collect was used to verify that it was working correctly. And they actually go in and look and see all these, you know, what is the current fan speeds, what is the amount of air being blown through, what is the temperatures of the cabinets and stuff now.
Yeah. And so in our next system in Perlmutter, right, they're going to add extra
there would be even more monitoring available to us. The fire hose will be growing in size, is the way we look at it. We're currently doing, the environmentals is probably 2,000 to 5,000 items per second, depending on how often we want to pick it up. And then the crays themselves generate anywhere from 20,000 to 100,000 items per second, depending on what we want to pick up off the crays too.
Wow, that's a lot of data.
Coming in fast.
Yeah, for sure.
One of the aspects of the data collect that's unique is when we built it, we decided to not look at what traditionally NERSC has done and say, let's look at what Google, Facebook, the web-based companies are doing and try to adopt their technology so we can do as a fail fast type thing. So if we build something that's wrong, we can fail it. Or if we build something and we decide it doesn't scale, we can replace it and not have the end user. To the end user, it still looks the same system, mm-hmm. is what the goal, one of the goals has been in the system. That's where we use things like Docker virtual machines. We use Python. We're using Grafana, Elasticsearch, Prometheus to collect data off of systems and to visualize it.
Okay.
My job here doesn't entail just the data collect. It also entitles when we design for like N9 for the next generation system, I was involved to build the power metering for that system. My input was used to decide how we're going to power meter, where power quality meters go, and what other sensors are needed on the floor. So whatever CRACE provides is one set, but we also extend that out so we can look at it more than just what the CRACE provides, what the whole envelope around the system will be.
Oh, okay. So, Tom, switching gears a little bit, how did you go from being a Nebraska boy to being a computer systems engineer at NERSC?
So my history is I have a degree in electrical engineering from the University of Nebraska at Omaha campus, College of Engineering. So the way University of Nebraska does it, the College of Engineering is not limited to one. It's across all the campuses, supposedly, although they may or may not have an office, depending on what campus you go to. When I graduated from that program, and actually I wasn't thinking I'm going to be doing electrical. I also did work in computer science at the same time. I was more interested in more like the programming and stuff. You can find my name in the Linux kernel. And it was in three different locations. It's actually in two locations. The third one, my name didn't get associated with it. But it is parts of each one are still there in the kernel. So I was doing a lot of programming, low-level programming work. I interviewed for a position 20-some years ago with NERSC as a PDSF lead and was hired to come in and clean up PDSF. PDSF, at the time I came in, consisted of surplus from the Super Collider with some money being poured in for some newer stuff as they realized that that surplus was more junk than it was usable. And we were able to take for example, a refrigerator size SGI-based system that held 80 gigabytes of drive space and build a 4U box that had the same equivalent amount of space and performance. And then from there, I went on to run Alvarez, which was a research cluster for an Intel-based system from IBM that also had GPFS on it and a first-generation Miricom system in it, Marinette. Then we moved to Jacquard, which was also another cluster that had a Miricom system in it. But Jacquard, as I said earlier, had some issues that we had to figure out what was going on. So that started the monitoring side of my life here at NERSC, realizing that the more we monitored on that system, the more that we could determine what was hopefully going on or not going on. And that's actually some problems with some people that don't realize monitoring helps not just show you what's going on, but also what's not going on. And then so from there, we moved on to OSF and picking up the power. And then today, ta-da, I'm the data architect of the data collect.
All right. Well, I'm glad you did that. Okay, so just to finish up, three things that you want NERSC users to know.
We know what you're doing. No, I'm not saying we know exactly what you're doing, but we know one of the goals of this of our Holy Grail is to be able to look at what people are doing on the system and schedule based on environmental and power the jobs that are running on the system. So that way, not only can we pack the system better, we can also use the power and the temperature and the environmentals to run jobs better. schedule better. The other one we're trying to do is get it where if you get, hopefully, and I can't say when this will occur, one of the other holy grails, as we call it, is to be able to say, I ran a job X number of times. I had some jobs run slower, some jobs run faster, and some jobs run the exact same speed. To be able to call up a consultant and say, the job XYZ did this. Can you tell me what was going on in the system at that time? And the consultant can go in and do some research and say, the reason why your job ran slower is because another job was running that caused this impact. And so maybe we can do is you can say these two jobs cause each other to, you know, fall apart when they're both running at the same time. Put a scheduling thing and says never run the two jobs at the same time. Or partition the system in such a way that they don't interfere with each other.
Yeah, well, that would be really fantastic. So whenever you can get that going, Tom.
It's a hard slug. That's a hard slug. There's a lot of information, a lot of work that has to be done to get the performance information and to also be able to feed it back into the scheduler so the scheduler knows what's going on.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Tom.
Thank you.